Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Here's America's food, pharma, and finance ecosystem in a nutshell. So you have young, healthy workers who are earning some money and they want to invest in some stocks. And so they look out there and they say, well, look, these processed food companies, these stocks look good. So they invest in McDonald's or they invest in Frito-Lay or they invest in PepsiCo or whatever. And then they say, well, gosh, we should use the products that we invested in so that maybe we can help these companies be, you know, profitable and earn some money on our stocks. So they start consuming all that garbage. They eat the Pizza Hut pizza. They drink the Pepsi products. You know, they eat the processed garbage food from McDonald's and other fast food. And then they start to get fat and diabetic, and they start to have cancer and heart disease. And they need to go to the doctor. And the doctor prescribes them with medications to treat the symptoms of the diseases caused by the foods that they ate because they wanted to support the processed food companies in which they invested. And then they say to themselves, well, gosh, if I'm paying all this money for all these prescription pharmaceuticals, maybe I should invest in those big pharma companies and kind of get a return, you know, kind of earn something back on all the money I'm spending on these medications. So they invest in big pharma. And they buy the stocks of Eli Lilly and Pfizer and all the other companies, GlaxoSmithKline. And of course, they take the jabs because they want to be obedient to their investments. And let's help the companies. Let's take the jabs. Let's, you know, provide extra demand. Now they start to suffer, you know, like liver failure, cognitive failure. They start to have turbo cancer. They get even worse. They're eating the junk food. They're taking the jabs. They're on the prescription medications. Depression is through the roof, right? And now they're a repeat customer. Big pharma is doing great. Big food is doing great. Big finance is doing great. The stock market's up. Oh, the Dow looks awesome. And then one day, this person who used to be a young, healthy worker, now they're an old, fat, rich person that made all this money in the market. Now they die. They die suddenly because of blood clots. And then the government takes a big portion of the money that they had, quote, earned in the stock market because of inheritance taxes. And then they leave some to their children. The kids get the money after taxes. Not that much, but it's something. And then it turns out the dollars become nearly worthless because food inflation, even on the processed junk food, has made those dollars a lot less valuable than they once were. So you spend your whole life thinking, I'm getting rich. You're thinking, oh, this is success. Actually, you're dying. You're dying from the toxic products. You're not leaving anything to your children except worthless, devalued dollars. And who gets rich? Who gets powerful in all this? Big pharma, big finance, big food, and big government. And then you just die. That's the ecosystem in which we now live for those who choose to participate in that. Or you could choose a different outcome. You could choose to reject all that. You could choose to grow some of your own food, eat healthy, have good nutrition. And yeah, you're going to spend more money, money that's going to become worthless anyway. So you're probably not going to have all kinds of financial wealth, but you're going to have health, which is a better kind of wealth. You're going to live longer. You're going to be happier. You're going to have your cognitive function. You're going to be able to eat, poop, pee, and have sex and do the things that actually matter in life. Because if you lose any of those things, it's going to get bad. If you have to have help eating, pooping, peeing, or having sex, then life is not as good as it once was. Or just washing yourself, having a shower, you know what I mean? So quality of life is what matters. And people who judge their wealth by their stocks in big food and big pharma and big weapons companies and everything else, while they themselves are getting sick and diseased and obese and full of chronic degenerative disease and pain and cognitive function and Alzheimer's and osteoporosis and turbo cancer, you're not winning. You're losing the game of life if you follow that road. That's why we teach the opposite of that. We teach people how to be healthy, wealthy, alive, awake, how to use nutrition, natural medicine, honest money, alternatives from the fiat currency, you know, money printing system. This is what we teach. Real freedom, real wealth, real abundance that counts. That's what we do at naturalnews.com and brighttown.com. And that's why, as I say, I'm building the infrastructure of human freedom so I can help more people achieve the outcomes that really matter and they can cast aside the illusions of wealth and success that have been projected onto their minds by the sorcery of the dishonest media and the financial ecosystem that doesn't know anything about quality of life. There you go. All right. I think the interview today is with Ramiro from Above Phone. We have some exciting new announcements. Spoiler alert, I guess. We're going to have a Brighteon version of Above Phone. It might be ready right now. I'm not 100% sure, but it's close. And ultimately, this is not ready at the moment, what I'm about to say, but we are working on being able to ship the Above phones with the Neo AI language model pre-installed into the phone. Now, that's going to take a while. There's some R&D work that has to happen there, but that's our goal. And it also requires us to have a smaller version of the language model that has fast inference on the processors and the memory of the phones. But I have good news. I'm going to read you some questions and answers from Neo that I think you will find quite amazing here. And just a quick update on Neo. If you go to brighteon.ai, you'll be able to download it. We're now posting some instructions on how to download LM Studio, which will allow you to run the Neo language model. And we're also working on an executable file version that you can just download and run by itself on Windows and Mac. However, the executable file version is a low fidelity version. It does not have the same quantization, which means the accuracy of the data as the downloadable larger versions, because Windows operating system only allows a 4 gigabyte maximum size of an executable file. So we have to shrink the model down to just below 4 gigabytes. And in doing so, we're losing some fidelity in that. So it's not going to give you as good of answers, but it's easy to download and run. And it ends up launching itself through your browser. So you can talk to it through your browser, any browser, basically. And you just type in your chats in a browser tab, and then it answers you back. Now, it's running locally, though. Don't get me wrong. It's not connected to the internet. You can unplug the internet and still use it locally. So that's coming up. We continue to suffer some setbacks on the data pipeline. It's been a little bit frustrating, but we've made a lot of major progress in so many areas of scalability that I'm very happy where we are. We're going to be releasing, well, let me back up. I posted a story yesterday. Here's a headline on naturalnews.com. Today, I asked our AI language model, Neo, about which phytonutrients or phytochemicals can block the spike protein related to SARS-CoV-2. And then here is what it answered. And it just gave a list. It's pretty cool. Quercetin was number one. Flavonoid found in plants, including onions, apples, berries, grapes, and tea, and so on, talks about the properties of quercetin. It mentioned resveratrol, curcumin, apigenin, which is found in celery, by the way, camphorol, which is found in broccoli, kale, and strawberries, and so on. Let's see, luteolin is a flavone found in plants. Myricetin, a flavanol found in plants. Rutin, genistein, that's found in fermented soy. And EGCG, which is found in green tea. So those are the 10 things that it gave me in the answer. And that model, by the way, you're going to love this. That model is built on the entire library of PubMed. Now, we didn't do all that construction. That was done by the Mistral company in a model they have called BioMistral. What we did is we trained on top of BioMistral with more content about nutrition, phytochemicals, and natural remedies, alternative medicine, herbs, and so on. And so we created what's called Neo BioMistral. And that is going to be released. Also, all these models that we're building are going to be released. So you'll be able to download that and do all kinds of research based on the entire library of PubMed. And that download is maybe a little over a week away at this point. Now, we have other models that we'll be releasing. And one of them is just called Neo Dolphin Mistral, which is not trained on BioMistral, but just regular Mistral, okay? With the Dolphin augmentation by Eric Hartford, which is an uncensored modification to Mistral. So it's going to be an uncensored Mistral model trained on, all of our hundreds of thousands of articles and dozens of books and hundreds of hours of interviews and things like that. So I was playing with that exact model like two nights ago, I think it was. And I just decided to ask it some questions. Well, actually, some of these questions are for BioMistral. And let me just give you just a taste of some of the things that you can ask it. I asked the question, explain the mechanism by which organophosphate pesticides damage brain function and promote dementia or cognitive impairment. Now, that's a good question, right? Like, how do pesticides damage the brain? And it answers. Organophosphate pesticides are a class of chemicals that inhibit acetylcholinesterase, an enzyme responsible for breaking down acetylcholine, a neurotransmitter involved in learning and memory. When acetylcholinesterase is inhibited by organophosphates, it's starting to become a tongue twister here, the levels of acetylcholine in the brain increase, leading to overstimulation of cholinergic neurons. I think that's the way you pronounce that. And subsequent damage to these cells. This damage can cause cognitive impairment or dementia. So there you go. The model understands neurochemistry. Interesting, right? I then asked it the following question. Hey, what's the most effective way to extract rosmarinic acid from fresh rosemary herb? Remember how I said it's going to be trained on answering your questions about making extracts and things like that if you want to, you know, harvest your own natural medicine from herbs? So here's what it said, quote, the most effective way to extract rosmarinic acid from fresh rosemary herb is by using a solvent extraction method. This involves soaking the fresh rosemary in a solvent such as ethanol or methanol for several hours. Now, by the way, I would not use methanol because that's not safe to consume. You know, ethanol is just another name for pure alcohol. So, you know, that would be like vodka. You could use vodka for that. Anyway, it continues, comma, then filtering out the plant material and evaporating the solvent to obtain a concentrated extract of rosmarinic acid. Other methods include supercritical fluid extraction and microwave-assisted extraction. Yes, that's true. It did not mention ultrasonic extraction, which is really my favorite method. And just in case you're curious, we've found in our lab that if you really want to extract almost everything from almost all herbs, the best solvent is 50% water and 50% alcohol, you know, such as ethanol or like a pure, near pure vodka, let's say. If you do 50-50 water and alcohol, and then you use an ultrasonic machine, it will extract almost everything out of that herb mass, but you do have to cut up the herbs first so there's more surface area for the extraction to work. But anyway, you know, the language model is answering some pretty cool questions. I asked it the next question. What's the most calorie efficient survival food to grow in your own home garden? And there's a question, right? It's a very practical question, especially if everything hits the fan and you're in off-grid mode, you know, and you're like, holy cow, we got to grow some food, you know. What do you grow? Well, here's the answer. Quote, the most calorie-efficient survival food to grow in your home garden is sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are highly nutritious, low-maintenance crop. They can be grown in many different climates and soil types. They contain more calories per ounce than any other vegetable, making them an ideal choice for those looking to maximize their caloric intake from a small amount of space. Says also sweet potatoes are easy to store and have a long shelf life, which makes them a great option for stockpiling food in case of emergencies or disasters. By the way, I knew an elderly person from Taiwan. He didn't speak any English whatsoever, but you know, I lived in Taiwan for a couple years. I knew an elderly person there who had lived through the Japanese occupation of Taiwan. And during the Japanese occupation, the Japanese military controlled, of course, all food production and farms. And the Taiwanese had to grow guerrilla gardens in order to survive. Guess what they grew? Sweet potatoes. That's right. Sweet potatoes. You know why? Because you can grow sweet potatoes in a hidden kind of fashion. They're not really obvious. In other words, you know, because the potato is below the dirt, obviously, what you see above the dirt is just some greens, and that those can kind of blend in with other shrubs or forest plants or whatever. And so they would grow secret sweet potato gardens to hide them from the Imperial Japanese, man. Now, this man has since passed away. As you can imagine, he was elderly, given that he was growing sweet potatoes during World War II. But He told me he would never eat another sweet potato in his life. And you can imagine why. Because he lived on sweet freaking potatoes for a number of years. And I don't care how much you love sweet potatoes for your pumpkin pie or whatever. If you have to eat sweet potatoes every day, there's a limit. You know, there's a limit to that. And you're going to hate sweet potatoes for the rest of your life. But anyway, they can keep you alive. And they did for this man that I knew in Taiwan. By the way, the Chinese word for sweet potatoes, at least the version of the word used in Taiwan at that time, is fan shu. Think, like visually, think about a little fan glued to your shoe. You could like fan shu, I guess. Anyway, it's pronounced fan shu. And that's not the way the mainland Chinese talk about sweet potatoes, but fan shu actually literally means aboriginal potatoes. So the aborigines in Taiwan, the native people there, before the mainland Chinese came over with Chiang Kai-shek, the aborigines grew sweet potatoes as a mainstay of their diet, in a similar way that Pacific Islanders and the native Hawaiians would grow things like taro. It was a mainstay of their diet. Root vegetables, actually, I mean, I don't mean to get into, you know, food history, but it's fascinating. If you go around the world, root vegetables have been a mainstay of the diet of nearly every culture that you can think of. Why? For this very reason, because they produce the most calories for the least amount of effort. And they're easier to protect from predators. You know, bugs or deer or whatever would normally eat a lot of things that grow above ground, like strawberries. The birds would eat those, but potatoes or sweet potatoes are easier to protect. So when I was visiting the indigenous populations in Peru, and I remember being at, you know, very, very high elevation. We must have been at like 11,000, 12,000 feet elevation. And I was visiting a farm there, a family of indigenous Peruvians, I guess you would call them. Probably their ancestors were either Quechua, you know, what would be the right term for that? Inca, even, if you go back far enough. I'm not sure exactly, but I would call them indigenous Peruvians. And locals call them Indians, by the way. And they, I actually got to see an ox drawing a wooden plow through the soil in this high elevation farm in order to grow papas, which is potatoes. So even there, isn't that interesting? All over the world you go, you're going to find every culture growing some form of potato. But I'm getting off topic. Makes me want to have some like onions and potatoes in a skillet or something, right? It sounds pretty good. Growing potatoes is a very important skill. Okay, next question I ask the language model is, check this out. What is the mechanism by which COVID vaccines may cause blood clots? Now, if you ask that question to, you know, ChatGPT or the other hosted models, they will typically respond with something like, oh, vaccines don't cause blood clots. Vaccines save lives. The science is settled. You know, some other bull crap like that. But our model answers it honestly. It says some components of the vaccine, such as polysorbate 80, can activate platelets and lead to the formation of blood clots. It also says that the spike protein produced by SARS-CoV-2 can trigger an immune response that leads to the production of antibodies against platelet factor 4, called PF4. And that leads to the formation of blood clots and so on. Our model is not centered about, you know, the truth about vaccines or cancer or other health conditions. And just as proof, this is the last one. As proof, check this out. I asked the model the following question. Explain how the processed food industry and big pharma generate repeat profits by keeping people sick and diseased while claiming to offer helpful products and treatments. And it answers the following. The processed food industry and big pharma are two of the most profitable industries in the world, but they also have a lot in common. Both industries profit from keeping people sick, even though they claim to be offering helpful products and treatments. Let's take a closer look at how these two industries work together to keep people hooked on their products while making billions of dollars in profits. And then it has a subhead, the processed food industry. The processed food industry is one of the largest industries in the world with an estimated value of over $1 trillion. This industry produces foods that are high in calories and low in nutrients, which can lead to obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic health problems. Many people don't realize how much sugar, salt, and fat is added to processed foods. And it talks about high fructose corn syrup. It talks about confusing customers with misleading food labels. It talks about artificial flavors and colors and so on to make their products appeal to customers. And it talks about hyperactivity in children and so on. And it goes into big pharma and how there says these drugs, many are overprescribed or prescribed to people who don't actually need them. For example, antidepressants are often prescribed to patients with mild symptoms of depression, even though they may not be the best treatment for those individuals. Many drugs have serious side effects and can cause long-term health problems as well. So it's willing to answer the questions, and that's remarkable. I just want to share that with you because this is a game changer. This is an absolute game changer. You're going to be able to have this model and ask it so many questions. In fact, you know, who was it? Michael Yon was asking me a question. He wanted me to ask our language model this question. And he was like, have your model tell me about the demographics of the migrants from Yellowknife, Canada. I'm like, well, I've never heard of Yellowknife, Canada. But apparently it's a real thing because the language model answered and it said, hey, the population of Yellowknife is approximately 20,000 people, a small city located in the Northwest Territories of Canada. And it says migrants to Yellowknife come from all over the world. Most are from other parts of Canada. Many migrants are young professionals who have moved there for work. And it talks about a large indigenous population, people of Inuit and Dene descent living in the area. And it goes on and on. And we didn't train the model on anything about Yellowknife, Canada. So it picked that up from the base model, which is the Mistral training, by the way. So you're going to find a lot of things in these models that are already there before we got our hands on them. But then we enhance them with our training on all the areas, of course, where we specialize, such as herbs, nutrition, natural medicine, you know, things like that. All right. Let's move on because there's a lot of breaking news today, as usual. Let's go to Russia for a minute here. Oh, wait, first, it is confirmed that RFK Jr. did pick the ex-wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin, who's Russian in ethnicity. She's the ex-wife. What's her name here? Nicole Shanahan is his running mate. So Shanahan is a wealthy person because of Google. So she's got a bunch of Google money. And she's been involved in a whole lot of left-wing, you know, programs and operations and has some ties to some really questionable things. I mean, she's given millions of dollars for the advertising for RFK Jr. And I got to say that I, as much as I originally admired RFK's efforts and what he was saying, he has, in my opinion, I think this choice of this woman as his running mate is a political suicide. I think the Kennedy campaign is done. And that's not to even mention the fact that he just refused to speak out against Israel's genocide. He just wouldn't say anything about the children being bombed over there. So there's only one choice at this point. There's only one choice. If you're going to vote at all, if you want to participate in a corrupt, broken system, there's only one choice, and it's not Joe Biden, and it's not RFK Jr. at this point. That's just the reality of where we are. The choice is Trump, and you might love Trump, you might hate Trump, you might be annoyed by Trump, you might love certain things and hate other things. Well, that's kind of the way I am, but there's no other choice, so we'll see where that goes. Let's go to Russia now. Putin issues an F-16 warning to Ukraine sponsors. This story from RT, which covered a Putin speech that he gave on Wednesday, says that should these U.S.-made fighter jets make it to Ukraine, Russia will destroy them, just as it has other Western equipment so far. It says several NATO members have promised to donate their F-16s to Kiev, and they've trained Ukrainian pilots to fly them, but nobody's delivered them yet. Russia is warning the West that fielding these nuclear-capable jets, because they can carry nuclear missiles, will be an unacceptable escalation. He says, if they deliver the F-16s, I think you know better than others that this will not change the situation on the battlefield, and we will destroy these planes, just as we have destroyed tanks, armored vehicles, and other equipment. And then he says, this is actually the bigger story. He says, if they are used from airfields of third countries, they become a legitimate target for us wherever they are located. So let's say that there's an airfield in Poland and there's F-16s that take off from Poland and they enter Ukrainian airspace. Russia will not only make an effort to shoot down the F-16s that are flying over Ukraine, Russia will bomb the crap out of that airfield in Poland. And Russia can do that because Russia's got hypersonic missiles that nobody can stop. So any nation that thinks it's going to host these F-16s had better have some pretty kick-ass anti-air defense systems. Well, actually, it doesn't even matter because nothing can stop the hypersonic missiles anyway. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes. By the way, there was another story on RT that I thought was funny. It says Microsoft wants to ban curvy females from video games. What? So, you know how women in video games are typically depicted as, you know, very sexy, kind of like voluptuous, you know, characters. Microsoft says they're going to stop doing that because they need to be more woke and inclusive. So I guess Microsoft games are going to feature like purple haired, nose ring, like ugly ass liberal women with like horrendous levels of disease, obesity, or lack of fitness or whatever. And that's going to be the new, you know, princess warrior in the game or whatever. These games are going to bomb. It's going to be another example of get woke, go broke. Because guess who plays video games for the most part? Young men. Young men don't want to see, you know, offensive, ugly depictions of woke women in their video games. They want like Lara Croft, the warrior. You know, that's what they want. I guess next, what Microsoft is going to tell Hollywood, you stop using good-looking people in the movies because it's not realistic. Just find the ugliest actors you can, which I think Netflix has already started doing that, by the way. They are truly finding some of the ugliest people on the planet for their roles. Now, in certain characters, it actually makes a lot of sense to not be, to not look like a model, you know? I think this male actor, for example, Benedict Wong, is that his name? Let me check that. Yeah. That's his name. He's a British actor, says here, born in 1971. Benedict Wong, nobody, I don't think anybody would look at Benedict Wong and just characterize him as like a male model face. Nevertheless, he's a great actor and he carries tremendous power as an actor. In fact, he was in this new series from Netflix that I did get a chance to watch, thanks to a friend, called The Three-Body Problem, which is based on a science fiction book written by, I think, a mainland Chinese author. Benedict Wong plays a prominent role in that series, and the series was amazing, but half the time, all I could think of is like, wow, what an amazing actor Benedict Wong is. He's amazing, but he's not, you know, male model material, and that's okay. So anyway, back to Microsoft. I can't wait for Hollywood to just start rolling out all these movies with the ugliest possible people they can find, which shouldn't be difficult in Los Angeles, you know, the one of the woke capitals of the West Coast. All you got to do is just walk around and offer acting jobs to the local barista at the Starbucks. They're already hideous, you know? Just throw them in the film and you're going to get woke points for that. Anyway, I can't wait for the biography series about Benedict Wong. And of course, if you have a sense of humor, you know what the title would be. It'd be like The Life and Times of Benedict, called What Could Go Wong? All right, enough of that. No, that's not a racist joke. It's just a joke. People got to have a sense of humor these days. I joke about myself too. And the name Wong just kind of lends itself to a little bit of, you know, innocent humor. And now let's move on to some medical science news from Exposé News. Experts discover over 200 billion DNA fragments in a single dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. Yeah, 200 billion. How's that? And that's why they're adulterated, and that's why they should be pulled off the market. That was one of the interviews I ran last week about the effort in Florida to get the Attorney General of Florida and the Governor of Florida to support that effort to halt all vaccine sales in the state and then actually, you know, confiscate them for analysis. Now, from LifeSite News, here's a headline that will shock you. The UK government says being pro-life is a potential stepping stone to terrorism. I mean, think about the twisted UK logic here, that if you want to protect life, you might be a terrorist. But if you want to murder people through abortion, you're definitely not a terrorist. Could it be any more Orwellian? Doublespeak or wrong think? It's just crazy. So if you want to defend life, you might be a terrorist, says the UK government. They have a new training program called Prevent. Of course, it's called Prevent. It's part of their counterterrorism strategy. And it says that anti-abortion people should be considered along with other single issue ideologies that could lead to terrorist acts. And what kind of ideologies? Oh, either Islamist or right-wing ideologies, right? So if you're, quote, right-wing, which means anything that's right of the radical Marxist left, you know, if you just believe in the Constitution, oh, you're right-wing. You know, if you believe in the rule of law, you're right-wing. If you believe that police officers should have decent funding, you're right-wing. And that's extremism, you see. The only way to not be considered an extremist is to be on the extreme left, where you want to mass murder everybody with whom you disagree. So that's considered totally okay. That's considered peaceful, nonviolent. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. You're not a terrorist if you're a left-wing terrorist. But you might be a terrorist if you're a right-wing non-terrorist who doesn't believe in using terror as a means to achieve political change. Yeah. The UK government also says that people who believe in animal rights might be terrorists as well. What? Again, totally insane. People who believe in animal rights typically are just people who have compassion, and they also believe in human rights, generally speaking. I mean, I love animals. I treat animals with great compassion. I understand that animals are conscious beings. They have memories. They have feelings. They have a life experience. They have families. They have social structure. I see it every day in the animals all around me. It's one of the reasons why I love having so many animals, because I recognize that their life experience matters. But according to the UK, might be an extremist because, you know, you rescue donkeys or whatever. you could be a terrorist. Yeah, right. But meanwhile, the people that are chopping up human babies, that's perfectly fine with the government. Yeah, depopulation. Keep on going. Here, you need an extra hatchet? Yeah, go ahead. UK government would gladly provide more tools for euthanasia. You know, what do you need? You need some high-powered suction tools? Yeah, the government would gladly give you those too. Whatever you need, just as long as you keep killing babies. Now, a totally different story from The Intercept. Elon Musk fought government surveillance while profiting off government surveillance. He continued selling user data from X to a company that facilitates government monitoring. Yep. Well, how did you think X was paying the bills when they were attacked by all these left-wing radical fascist groups to try to ban all their advertisers? Well, X is selling user data. Who are they selling it to? The NSA, the CIA, the government, the governments of the world. Everything that you post on X is monetized and sold by Elon Musk to a government that will weaponize that information against you. At the same time, Elon Musk's companies are making billions of dollars, ultimately, by launching military weapon surveillance satellite systems that spy on you. So if you're wondering why Musk is sort of allowed to succeed in society, well, that's the reason, because he is going along with the surveillance society. His tools allow governments to spy on you. And so he's allowed to operate a little bit. And by the way, X is not a free speech platform. Censorship is still very prominent on the platform, and you can't even link to a Brighteon.com video on X. So if you want to have freedom of speech in social media, go to Brighteon.social. And by the way, we're going to be launching, we have a major announcement coming up about another tool soon, maybe in the next 60 days or less, that will also enhance your ability to connect with people online without surveillance or censorship, with your privacy intact. So watch for more news about that. It's going to be a big one. By the way, you notice how quickly the corporate media has fallen into line about the Baltimore Bridge narrative? Oh, it was just an accident. It's an accident. Yeah, just a bad accident. But the more you dig into it, there's a lot of like mysterious deaths that took place of people who were tied to the company that owns the ship and things like that. Clearly, this was a sabotage attack. This was probably a cyber attack designed to target U.S. infrastructure. But because the truth about this would hurt the Biden regime and it would make Americans feel vulnerable, oh, we're not safe. Yeah, you're not safe under Biden, that's for sure. The media is covering it all up. Oh, it's just a random accident. It could happen anywhere on any given day at any time. Just bridges just fall down. That's the way they talked about 9/11. Buildings just fall. Like Building 7, you know, the third building that was not hit by an airplane. Buildings just fall down when there's a fire in one office in a concrete and steel reinforced structure has a little fire. They just fall down, perfectly fall down, but they pancake collapse in their own footprint just because of one fire in one corner of the building. Yep, that's the new physics you're supposed to believe. Buildings just fall down. Bridges just fall down. Ships just hit bridges all the time. It's completely random. Yeah, right. Like food inflation is random too, I guess we're supposed to believe. It's nonsense. All right, I want to shift gears here again and share something with you. And this is going to seem kind of weird, but about once a year or so, I have a very vivid dream. And it was a couple years ago, I had a vivid dream that was premonition and it came true. It was a dream about a fiery explosion and it ended up within 2 weeks, it was almost exactly the an event that happened in Thailand, I believe, where there was a bombing. And in my dream, I had seen, and I shared this, by the way, here on the podcast. I don't know the exact date, but it's in the archive. I shared that I saw kind of like an umbrella of a cart, like a food cart in an outdoor courtyard. And then there was fire. And that's exactly what happened. There was this explosion in this food courtyard in Thailand. And so I've learned to pay attention to dreams when they're incredibly vivid. So I want to just share this dream with you. And just with the disclaimer that sometimes dreams are induced by the things, of course, that we are hearing about in the news or the media or things that we have fears about. And it's possible that this dream is just a reflection of all the talk about this coming eclipse, perhaps. But let me just share it with you and you can decide what you think it was, or maybe you're having a similar dream. Maybe this is a pattern. Maybe our minds are all picking up on the same thing. But in my dream, it's not very long. In my dream, there was I was seeing a distant mountain, and the side blew out of the mountain, and it began to spit fire like a volcanic eruption. But more importantly, the eruptions got closer and closer, and it became these large fissures in the ground, opening up, and then lava and fire spewing forth vertically out of the ground. And there were two other things that were really weird about this dream. I know it kept getting closer and closer, and myself and the people around me, we were all working on evacuating. I was actually, in my dream, I was working on my language model, and I was trying to pack up all the hard drives and all the data storage so I didn't lose the model to get out of there before it overtook the area where I was. But looking back at this mountain that was exploding, there was then wet mud. It was like a lot of water was thrown out of the side of the mountain, and it was very murky, dirty water. And so I don't know if that means that my mind was imagining like a water eruption of maybe a volcano that's underwater or that's partially out of the water. I don't know. But then what was weird was that time reversed, and then the water got sucked back into the mountain, and then the eruption continued. So there was like this time reversal of the water effect, which I thought was really odd. It's like, what kind of volcano sucks the water back in? And then the other thing was the lights were flickering, and then the power went out. So there was definitely a time where the lights were flickering, and then actually at one point the lights got kind of dim, but they were still on. And then finally the lights went out. So we knew, it was known to my mind in the dream that this was a grid failure, the power outage because of the volcano. But it's weird. It didn't seem like a classic volcano in the dream. It seemed like actually the earth was opening up and hot, magma was spitting out of the crevices in the ground. And they were glowing. They were bright red. And it was definitely like molten rock, just shooting out of the ground. So there you go. That's what I saw. It was very realistic. Anyway, so there you go. And I just share that with you in case it resonates with something that you're seeing. I always believe in preparedness. I don't know what's going to happen with this solar eclipse. I'm not putting a bunch of weight in some sort of apocalypse happening on April 8th. I hope it's just a normal day with, the shadow of the moon sweeping across North America and nothing else crazy happens. That's what I hope. But then again, on any given day, I mean, look at what's happened recently. The big terror attack in Moscow at the theater. What is it? 137 people shot and killed, more wounded. And then a few days later, a possible cyber attack on a ship that careens into the pillars, collapsing a bridge, killing, I guess, six people, I think. And just as importantly, cutting off the economic activity, the logistics activity of an entire region. I get the feeling those two events are not disconnected, but I can't prove it. It's just some intuition. And that same intuition tells me that there's something going on with this solar eclipse because the governments of multiple states and counties are so concerned and they're telling people to be prepared. And it's like, that's not normal. We've never seen that before, just for a solar eclipse. So what do they know that they're not telling us? So it feels to me like either they know something that we don't know yet, or there's a plan in government to use the solar eclipse as a cover story for whatever crazy thing they want to pull off, such as a grid down event or a cyber attack or who knows, you know, thumper earthquake weapons or geoengineering, or maybe they'll just roll out a giant, you know, chemtrails operation. And then when you say, why are the skies so dark? They say, well, the eclipse has continued. But it's actually all their airplanes. That would take a lot of planes, though. If you do the math on that one, there probably aren't enough planes in the world to you know, really darken the skies very much. At least not that we know of. But then again, there might be some exotic technology out there that we're not aware of. So be ready for unexpected things to occur. All right. Anyway, we got to move ahead here to the interview because I've got to work on the AI project for the remaining time here. But thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com as we are building the infrastructure of human freedom. We have a lot of exciting announcements and free tools to release here. You're going to absolutely love it. And I think you'll also love this interview with Ramiro from Above Phone. And in the meantime, well, stay tuned. It's going to be an exciting few days here, especially up to the solar eclipse, and we'll see what happens then. Enjoy the interview, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Welcome to this interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and the theme today is the need to de-Google your life. You've probably seen recently that Google AI has some weird, twisted, anti-white, woke agenda. But the truth is, it doesn't stop there. Google's bad for your freedom. Google's bad for your health. Google's bad for your life. And the faster you can get away from Google on all your devices, including your mobile phone, the more free and the more informed and the more aware and alive you will be. And today we have in studio a really special guest, Ramiro from AbovePhone.com, that specializes in making de-Googled phones. Welcome, Ramiro.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I am honored that you're here in studio. I mean, we've done interviews remotely before, and we partnered with your company, I don't know, was it like a year ago or something? People are really loving your de-Googled phones, but this is the first time that you've been here in person, so thank you for coming.
That's what it's all about, right? It's like, actually, I'm starting to feel this is the phone you need if you're too plugged in. You know what I mean? It's like disconnecting. Phones are just disconnecting us from life. So
right.
Anytime I can get a chance to come out here and be in person, that's what it's really about. So thanks for having me out.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'd love having you here. So just for people who are not familiar with, let's just start with the basics. Your company, AbovePhone.com, and the phones that you currently offer, just give us the rundown of what that's all about and what they are.
Sure. So the Above Phone is a de-Googled phone, right? It's a phone that doesn't have any big tech on it at all. It's not making any connections to big tech servers. And you have to get the context of how often a regular phone is connecting to big tech, whether that's Google or it's Apple. It's usually connecting every 5 minutes. So this phone is devoid of that. There's zero connections. And this is something we've verified as well. And so it's a phone that can work with any cell service. You can still get all the apps that you want. It's just giving you a lot more possibilities in the terms of like what control you can have over your apps, what control you can have over your phone. And it opens a lot of new doors to software that is made by everyday people, not giant companies that are looking to surveil your data. And so we've done this project for more than 2 years now. We have over 1,000 customers. So we've really learned. We've really learned what it takes to bring someone maybe who's not so technologically adept and get them to work with all this tech. And it's easier than you might think.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. Thank you for that explanation. I started using, even before I met you, before I knew about your company, I was using a different de-Googled phone several years ago. And then I found out about your company, actually because of John Bush at the event. And we got to thank John Bush for that as well. Then I found out that your phone offers this package of pre-installed apps that work well together and that you can pay for your data using crypto, which was a big deal to me because I wanted to have a phone that I could take with me somewhere that wasn't spying on me and wasn't tied to my credit card or my name in any way whatsoever. And that's what your company allowed me to do.
Totally. It's all about the ecosystem, right? We're not just trying to solve one piece of the puzzle. It needs to be all the interconnected pieces. And that's what Google and Apple kind of realize. They bring you into the ecosystem, and then when you're in, they build walls around you. Well, this ecosystem is designed to be a little bit different. It's designed to be free and open. So, you know, you might decide to use our cell service, which we have a new version of our cell service coming out in April, and that's going to have native speeds here in the United States. So we're excited about that. But you're not limited to that. You know, you could use any cell service anywhere in the world. And I think that's a really big deal. As all of the you mentioned above suite, so those are a set of communication services, right? We can't use Zoom anymore because they're recording our face and they're probably making avatars of us, right?
You already see right.
that in, with the Apple Vision Pro. So we have alternatives to that. We have alternative video conferencing, encrypted chat, internet phone numbers, all these new different tools that we need to start using and utilizing so we're proficient at them. Because right now, this might seem niche for some people. They're like, why do you do this? In the future, these are going to be the real ways to communicate. That
good point.
Trouble.
Yeah, good point. We've seen some really concerning things over the last few years. For example, a lot of people, even journalists who were present on January 6th, who were not violent, they didn't break any laws, and then the federal government retroactively drew a virtual boundary and said that if you were inside this boundary, then you were trespassing somehow. Yeah. Not even inside the Capitol building, but just on the grounds, even though it's supposed to be the place of the people, right? Yeah. But the way that they then arrested people was they went to Google and Apple and they got people's metadata of their geolocation based off their phone linked to their identity. And then they went out and broke down people's doors and arrested them. So Google and Apple became complicit, in my view, with spying on you and turning over your metadata to law enforcement that abused that to try to imprison innocent people, including many journalists, because they were labeled political dissidents. So a lot of people don't realize, maybe even those watching this, they don't realize that an iPhone spies on you and a Google Android phone, which is almost all the normal Android phones, spies on you constantly, like you said, every 5 minutes.
And then there's, you know, it is spying on you constantly. And because these operating systems, like the software that's running on this phone, is proprietary, you aren't actually in control of what happens. You just have to take their word for it. Maybe you scroll past those terms of service. And a lot of the times, those terms of service aren't giving you the full picture. And Google has to be called out in a class action lawsuit, which a few cases that I'm going to talk about today. And Apple has to undergo that same thing. Sometimes even these representatives at the companies don't know the extent of the spying that's going on. And that's that plausible deniability. I think back in the day when people were becoming aware of their phones, listening to them and targeting them with advertising, they would ask representatives from Google and Apple. And they say, we don't know anything about that. Huh. It's just like different layers of deception. And that's really what privacy is.
Right. But see, with Google especially, we also know that then the NSA has a backdoor into Google. So if Google's spying on us, then the NSA can weaponize that information against us in an unconstitutional, illegal manner in order to specifically target, for example, political opponents. I mean, Tucker Carlson was talking about how, I think he said the CIA spied on him and got his emails and was trying to prevent him from interviewing Putin in Russia. I mean, there's an example.
Right. You know, and Tucker uses Signal, which I think he was talking about, which again is funded by the U.S. government. And, you know, so we're using this privacy tech and a lot of it has already been co-opted by the U.S. government. And, you know, I think we just need to be extremely careful of what we put our communications on. And in Tucker's case, I don't think he was using a Google phone. He's never really mentioned it.
Yeah.
But someone at his level, he's going to be targeted anyways, right? And people always ask me, like, is this going to protect me from the NSA or CIA? Probably nothing is going to protect. Throw away your phone and just move.
Go back somewhere. To typewriters.
Go back to typewriters. Avoid the satellites. This is for the person who wants to avoid mass surveillance. And I think there's a difference, right? There's a difference between surveillance and being targeted and mass surveillance.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the mass surveillance side, a lot of these companies are lazy. They, through your consent, your uninformed consent, by using these devices, they're able to log what you're typing and what you're searching, what you're even speaking about. But if you detach, if you remove your consent and you start to use these alternative technologies, you have to work a lot harder. And then, you know, it turns out you're living your life normally. You're not a criminal. You're not dangerous. There's such an opportunity cost for them to try and target you at that point. And that's really the goal we have to build towards.
Okay, good point. Now, the website, folks, if you want to get a de-Googled phone for yourself, it's abovephone.com. And if you put /DTV, then that also gives us credit because we partnered with the Above Phone company. And DTV is short for decentralized TV.
I think by the time this interview comes out, we're going to have a Brightian link as well.
And oh, what is that?
The Brightian link is going to be for the Brightian edition of the Above Phone. And that's going to be really cool because we're putting custom apps on there. We're going to put Brightian on there and also the Health Ranger app.
Okay, so what would that be? Abovephone.com/Brightian?
/Brightian.
Oh, okay. Well, that's even easier for people to remember. Okay, so abovephone.com/Brightian. But you just dropped some bombshells right there. So you're going to have a Brightian edition of Above Phone.
Yes, it's going to be one of the first custom edition phones we're doing with our partners. So
very cool.
It's excited, right? It's like about it's this concept I call like the content supply chain. How can we reduce the number of layers between people sharing an important message and the viewer? We can't have them going through algorithms. So, I mean, that's what this phone is all about. Like, you can download music and movies and videos from YouTube using this phone, using these new apps, right? And that's how I think it should be. You should directly be notified when your favorite content creator is creating something and have a way to get directly to them. So this phone is a perfect opportunity to do that.
Well, so we're going to be giving you the APK file for the Brightian app, which is actually it's the natural news app that also includes Brightian videos. So that'll come preloaded on the phone.
Yeah.
Now I know, I hope you're okay that I kind of tease this. I want to tell our audience this isn't ready yet. This is still in the experimental stage. But what I want to be able to do... Oh, and they've sent helicopters after us at Ramiro. there they are.
It's a no-fly zone.
Yeah. No, the helicopters have arrived. They're going to land in the parking lot. no, I'm joking. We're not far from a heliport or heliport. How do you say it?
Heliport? Yeah.
Okay. We're not far from the heliport. Yeah, for urgent deliveries. They're airdropping, you know, stuff over here. What we want to put on your phones as part of the Brightian package, when it's possible, it's probably many months out, but we want to put a large language model app so that someone can ask a question right on their phone and they can get answers from our LLM. And the LLM is trained in, you know, herbs and nutrition and things like that. But I know you're very interested in working with us on that. I don't know yet if we can make a model small enough that will work in a timely manner and have enough, you know, throughput. But we're going to try it.
We are going to try it. And I think, you know, we're democratizing AI, and I think it's just a really important solution. And I'm thankful that your team has taken the first step and compiled all the information you've been gathering over the years. Because, I mean, just to be truthful, there are some people who just swear off of AI. They're like, oh, this is evil. You know, it's evil incarnate. Don't talk to them.
I've heard from some of those people, yeah.
I mean, right. And it's like, hey, why? Maybe don't be so absolutist about it and kind of try, because there are ways that it can assist you. One thing I'm really interested in is the local language models, right? Not connecting to any servers. So this is what we're planning, Mike and I, is having a local AI model on your phone that you can talk to. Now, that would be really cool. And it's also, it's going to be completely your consent to put it on there, right? This is just this is information.
Now, the where we really want to take that, by the way, is where it does speech to text. So you can pick up the phone, you can talk to it, it does speech to text. The text then gets pushed to the LLM as a query, and then the LLM responds with either text or speech.
Okay, that'd be
so
cool.
You know, speech to text, to query, to text, back to speech.
We've already got the speech to text part figured out.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, that's half the battle right there.
right? And then it's just the input of it getting to the chat system. But yeah, it talking back to you would be really cool. Maybe we could get your face or something too, and just like, gotta take these herbs.
That would be freaky.
let's not do that one.
Let's not do that.
Let's not do that.
But the speech to text part, so you have a good transcription or voice recognition engine that runs on the phones now?
Yes, and it's completely local. I can't take credit for it. It's this group out of Austin near us, actually, called Futo. And they are a consortium, and they take money, and they invest it into open source projects. So they have a Futo voice input app that you can already use.
Wow.
And it's headed by Lewis Rossman. Well, he's one of the main players in it now, and he's a really popular right to repair YouTuber.
Okay.
And so they've been doing some really good work with that. So we've already got that app on the phone, and it works flawlessly. It's already integrated with a bunch of open source keyboards. So you like literally hit that microphone icon, you speak, it does perfect punctuation, perfect, you know, sentence structure, all of that. And it does multiple languages too.
So oh, wow.
I was in Mexico a few months ago. I was using it to barter and figure out what the hell I was doing.
Yeah. Okay, so this is going to be a game changer, and it's important that our audience knows that all these functions we're talking about are offline. It's just local on your phone. So even if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you don't have cell service, you don't have any bandwidth at all, you could still get answers from the language model using your phone.
Yeah, and I think, and now we've transported this into this phone is potentially a time capsule, isn't it? Right?
Right.
Let's say all the internet is wiped out and you've got this local language model and you can still use it to ask questions about repair or construction.
Or survival skills.
Exactly.
Totally.
And that's one of the other things I wanted to partner with you on is to bring books from like really old books from the 1700s to 1900s without copyright and put them in a model.
Oh, we're already on top of that.
Yeah, boom.
It's actually pre-1964.
Is that the cutoff?
In the U.S., almost everything published before 1964 is now in the public domain. Almost everything, because of the way the copyright laws worked.
1964.
Yeah.
It started going to shit right after that
point. Yeah, that's true. Things got bad. All right, just to wrap up this segment, Ramiro, from a practical standpoint, if people get a de-Googled phone, then their phone isn't spying on them. The phone doesn't talk to Google at all. It doesn't even have Google Play on it, by the way. That's not even part of the ecosystem.
I will say, there's a little bit of nuance with that. By default, it has none of that. But it still gives you the freedom to add Google Play if you want.
Oh, if you want.
It's in a neutered fashion, too. It's way safer than a normal phone. But sometimes you might have to do that for things like Uber and Airbnb.
Right.
Banking apps. But there's always alternatives. You can use those in the web browser. You can use those banking apps in the web browser. Sorry, just thought I...
Thanks for clarifying, because I don't ever put Google Play. But then again, I don't use Uber or Airbnb or any of those people.
You've got the helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter's waiting for us. Right? But it does mean then, though, when I want to install apps, I do have to go out and find the APK, typically.
You'll go directly to the developer. Yeah, and there's a bunch of awesome places to find that. My friend Rahul from India built Aurora Store, which is a way to download apps off of the Google
Play Store. I'm familiar with Aurora, yeah.
So you know all about that. And then you can also get apps directly from the developer, right? That APK file will go directly to their software repository and download it from them. And
right.
So we're decentralizing this app distribution. Now, Google and Apple can't be in the middle of that and be like, let me get my 30% cut. Oh, let me ban you because you're about bringing unvaccinated people together. They can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, the world is becoming more decentralized, and that's why we love partnering with Above Phone, because that's what you're all about as well. Like, let's take big tech out of our lives and stop giving big tech control over us, and also protect our privacy at the same time. This is really important given where things are headed in the world. So let's talk about one of the trends. We have Elon Musk bragging about Neuralink. I'm not sure why you would brag about implanting circuits in somebody's brain and being able to control them. That sounds like a nightmare to me. But what do you think the future holds for the integration of biology and technology?
I think if you look at the trends and the products that both Google and Apple are coming out with, and also a lot of the think tank research behind them. It seems like they're really obsessed about combining our biology with more sensors. And so the few trends I see is really, I'm about to release this article on takebackourtech.org. It might be published by the time where this interview is out. But as the Apple Vision Pro, and that's something I paid a lot of attention to. Because in a lot of ways, it's going to change the face of computing if people step into that domain. But, you know, people have to also realize that that thing is iris scanning you. That
yes, it is.
Face scanning. And there's no choice about it. And also something that I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to is the amount of research that went into creating that thing. 17 years of research, 5,000 patents. A lot of these patents are about reading your brainwaves. And these other health indicators like your heart rate, skin temperature, all these different things. And there's even patents for these sensors existing in things like AirPods and those Bluetooth earbuds. So it's one of those cases is, can these things read our brainwaves, read our thoughts? Would Apple and Google have access to that technology? And would they be able to roll it out?
Well, it seems like that's inevitable if it's not already happening. I've read articles about tech that can interpret your brain waves and then recreate the words that you're thinking, for example. That sounds like mind reading to me.
Yeah, I think that project is out of Australia. It's like Daze OS.
Yeah, I forgot, the name of it. That sounds familiar.
And so they have this large language model that can read our EEGs and transform them into text. And it's running at around 40% accuracy. And there are certain test cases where it went up to 60%. They want that to be at 90%.
Sure.
And they need electrodes really attached to your head in order to get the clear data. It's a very sensitive procedure. So even when you look at the patents for AirPods, there's a lot of balancing and like neutralizing different sensors at different points to take different measurements and to account for noise. But they're really obsessed with putting as many sensors as possible into these headsets. And eventually it seems like the direction they want to go is to give you real-time health information about yourself, which sounds like a really nice thing. But do you really trust Apple to keep that data on the device?
Well, and ultimately where I think it's going is that, of course, they'll have embedded drug administering. And so they'll monitor your brain waves. And if you start to think too many thoughts that are more individual thoughts or dissenting thoughts, then they can hit you with a drug. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And suddenly, oh, you're peaceful and you're not thinking about, you know, resisting the authoritarians anymore. Right? I mean, it's a dystopian
wet dream
future.
Yeah.
But it's almost here.
It's almost here. And I think we are, you know, this conversation, this is like public research. You know, these AI systems we're talking about, the code is available on places like GitHub. And so there's the AI we were talking about that can transcribe it to text. There's also AI that can transcribe EEGs into pictures. And that one's called Dream Diffusion. So, you know, we're moving into that era. And all you have to do is, folks, just don't put on the headset. Just don't put on the headset, even the Bluetooth ones. I mean, there's a whole, you know, you're frying your brain when you do that. That's just a reality of it.
But you know they're going to continue to push for it. So let's go back to Apple Vision Pro, this idea of augmented reality. You can see, like, just like now, there are certain retail stores, especially in Europe, where you can't get in the store unless you scan the code. Right. And then it tracks you and who you are and has an interchange with your phone. There's going to be a point where a certain technology is required for you to participate in society, and that's how they're going to gain control over a lot of people, for example, CBDCs. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to augmented reality, you could imagine in the not-too-distant future, there could be, I don't know, you might be attending an event. But if you go there just with your human eyeballs, you're looking around like nothing's happening here. Where's the event? And then, you got to put on the augmented reality goggles.
And Marina Abramovic pops up.
Right. And then it's like, it's a party. Everything's happening. Yeah. And here's, you know.
Which, who would want to go to a party like that? I would just be like, there's nothing here.
There's nothing here. Yeah. But it's convincing to a lot of people. And given that a lot of human lives are rather lonely and miserable, a lot of people would go for that, especially porn. Don't forget about Apple Vision Pro porn. What about a giant stripper party? Like, how compelling would that be, especially to a lot of young males, the incels that have no girlfriends? They're like, going to the stripper party with Apple Vision Pro.
I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Is this your next project? No, I'm kidding.
Above porn. No. We're not doing anything like that. I mean, our technology, I've been thinking about this a lot. And if you look at research, there's this doctor, Dr. Deloney, out of West Texas, who's been doing a lot of research into how alone people are feeling, specifically anxiety. And part of his group did a survey, and they surveyed how many close friends do we have now? And it was something like an average of less than 3.
Whoa.
So most people were below that.
Whoa.
And so this technology, we're using it to plug this hole. Like the porn thing, the virtual reality thing, people are just escaping from their problems.
That's right.
And I think we really need technology. Well, technology's got to cut that part out, and hopefully we can use it intentionally to bring us back to what's really important, coming here in person like this.
Oh, and let me add, there are AILLM girlfriends.
Yes, there are.
So I've seen stories where especially young men, incels typically, are like in love with their chatbot.
Yeah,
that's freaky.
You can, I mean, you gotta ask yourself: Have they ever talked to a girl before, or you know, have we just lost it completely? And there's a lot of healing to do. And I think that as men and as women, we really need to help pull each other out of this. And to be honest, I think some people are just gonna stay in that cycle.
Oh, clearly.
But for us that are aware of it, we need to push extra hard in the other direction. And that's what Above Phone isn't a dumb phone. It can do everything a smartphone can do. It's a wise phone. But I think that as part of our strategy here to bring people in the person into person. And so earlier you mentioned, how are we going to get into a grocery store? Now is really the time. The next year or two, we need to start producing food at home, and we need to have all
absolutely
that stuff locally on our maps.
So this is one of the reasons why I love your worldview, is because you and I are both into growing food. We're both into nutrition and self-reliance. And perhaps that might not have been obvious to our audience because you're a tech guy, but you're also somebody who believes in producing high nutritive foods or superfoods and being as self-reliant as possible. And so you and I kind of share a very similar philosophy, which is that we're not so-called Luddites. We're not living an Amish lifestyle. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I admire the Amish in many ways and the Mennonites. But we choose to use technology, not to just reject it and not even understand it, but rather to dive into it and see how we can harness it for human freedom.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes what we do and what you do really unique. I mean, there's lots of people who are into technology, but mostly to enslave humans or to just get rich or whatever. That's not what turns us on, man. This is like technology for human freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a tool waiting for us to express ourselves through it. And, you know, just a gripe I have with a lot of the technology community is that they're either contributing to building a prison around us. I mean, that's what I was asked to do when I worked in New York City. It was literally to join one of these big tech companies and start working on their products.
Really?
That is a nightmare. And that's when, I mean, COVID was happening around that same time.
You lived in New York City? Really?
I did.
Whoa.
It was kind of, it was fun before all this crap happened.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the good days of New York City.
In the good days. And then it just became crap overnight.
that's what Eric Adams says now.
Yeah. Well,
the mayor, he
had his hand in that. Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's like this holistic approach. I really don't think we shouldn't be handing over our power. Like, even when it comes to these phones, like, we don't want to. We are going to help guide you, but we're not your gurus. You know, the decisions you're making on how to use this phone, they're your decisions. We're going to try and give you all the information up front.
Right.
It's really our journey to figure out, just as how you feel with all the products you have with the Health Ranger store and all the content you have coming out, you don't want people to just blindly go for it.
No,
right? You want
no.
them to...
I've always encouraged people to think for themselves. And in fact, I find the whole guru approach very offensive.
Yeah.
I despise people who try to position themselves as gurus where you should always just follow them and believe them without thinking. That's just like a cult.
Right.
And the world is not helped by that.
We don't need any more. We don't need any more gurus. We need to all be figuring our stuff out, because it's if we're all figuring it out independently, we get to learn from each other. And that's really
exactly. We need a lot of individual nodes of highly capable, high IQ, highly informed individuals. And big tech is trying to block humans from having access to knowledge. And I've said that, you know, Google is an anti-knowledge search engine. Mm. That's its function now. To dissociate humanity from knowledge. And that's what censorship is all about. But what we do here at Brighteon and on our websites and what you're doing with Above Phone is to bypass those sensors so that we can reconnect with knowledge. That's why I love the idea of putting our LLM on your phones. If we can figure that out, again, folks, that could be many months away, just to be clear.
Work in progress.
Yeah, work in progress. And it's not guaranteed to work at this point. But if we could do that, then that would replace Google for a lot of people. You can just ask your phone, like, oh, I'm at the farmer's market and there's arugula. And you could ask your phone what nutrients are in arugula that might be useful for anti-inflammatory effects, right? And boom, it answers you.
And it helps. It can change. The AI interface is nice for that reason.
Yes.
Really, really open ways of asking questions and getting responses. So I'm super excited about that. And let's make it happen.
Let's definitely make it happen. And you know, the other thing I want to mention is that because of your phones have a lot of onboard memory, you know, high RAM, all of human knowledge that's ever been printed, you know, can fit in a few terabytes, you know, I mean, and index representations of human knowledge can fit in gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's amazing about these language models is even in a 7 billion parameter model, which is a very typical size right now, it can encompass knowledge of almost everything that a typical person might ever know in the world in just 7 billion parameters.
And to have that in your pocket.
And it's in your pocket. And you can use it offline.
Yeah.
Now, okay, comment.
I was just going to say that I love where you're going with is keeping it offline first. Just
yes.
With a lot of, I got to tour Health Ranger today, and those are things you're getting to prepare for the future. Exactly with these phones can help you navigate across the country, even if there's no internet, right?
Right.
The voice model is completely offline. Hopefully, we'll get to the point where communications are piggybacking off of a mesh network,
and we decentralize. Yeah,
decentralize, and that's the vision. So that's what I want.
And think about it, when the cell towers go down or the power grid goes down or whatever, if you have like one of your phones that works with our language model, for example, then again, you said time capsule earlier, it's something that works offline. As long as you can charge it and you can charge it with a small solar panel,
yeah.
Then you can have a time capsule of human knowledge that never needs to go to the cloud. That's the thing. So many people today are connected to the cloud for everything. I mean, even their personal photos.
Yeah.
People go out and take photos and they upload, especially Apple users for whatever reason. Apple users...
Does it automatically.
They put everything in the cloud.
Yeah.
And they don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's something about Apple users, in my experience, where they just want to merge with the Borg.
Yeah. Like, that's why they're so excited about, you know, the Vision Pro.
Yes. Yes.
It's made their life easier until you break the rules. And then it's going to get, and it gets harder.
Right.
Yeah.
But with these Apple Vision Pro goggles that these people are wearing, and then you've probably seen videos of them walking down the street and they're like grasping at demons in the air. You know, it looks like crazy people. We used to see that on the streets of San Francisco years ago. Like, yeah, call an insane asylum. Now they're just Apple users who are manipulating icons in their virtual space. But it's like, why are you walking around the world doing that? Just go home.
Is it really necessary? Are you being more productive? Like, And also, I mean, I feel sorry for them because one, I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to go to an Apple store and measure the radiation coming off of one of these.
Oh yeah,
right. There's that aspect. But two, there's been plenty of studies showing that being distracted, folks doing multiple things at the same time,
yeah,
decreases your IQ, right? So you don't need to be in the world writing an email, watching a movie. Like, that's scary to me. And this is something I already suffer from because I did this for over a decade because no one talks about, what's the right word for this? Like, cleanliness with technology. No one really talks about it, and it can really mess you up. So I worry for the children. I really worry for the future. And
oh, yeah.
We gotta figure out the right way to use this stuff.
Well, and it's funny because I've seen demonstrations of the Apple Vision Pro where someone's sitting in their living room and they put on the goggles and then they bring up like a nature scene to replace their living room.
Right.
And, the sounds come in, it's like a lake and a mountain and the birds and everything, but they're still, of course, sitting on their couch.
Yeah.
And you can imagine how compelling that's going to be to a lot of people when, like, they start putting girlfriends into the scene or, other characters that you would interact with. And I can see that some people would start to get a pretty crazy God complex if they would have sort of compliant characters mm-hmm. all around them. And they would begin to lose social skills in the real world because in their artificial world, everybody agrees with them. Everybody follows their commands. You just point to people, you go row the boat, whatever. And you start to translate that out in the real world. It doesn't work.
It's don't like, take the headset
you
off.
You go row the boat. You're in New York City. Fuck you. You row it. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah. And it works perfectly to in this greater scheme of putting people in smaller and smaller boxes, doesn't it? You're not going to want to take the goggles off if you live in a 15-minute city in like a tiny box or if
right.
in a COVID concentration.
This is like Ready Player One.
It's exactly
the novel. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we pull the plug? I mean, I don't know if we can go back for some of these people. So some of the damage has already been done, but at least we can be super aware with ourselves. And, this is all of this ties in together. If you're using an Apple phone, those are the direction the products are going to head, right? Before, back in the day, we used to have headphone jacks on our phones. We don't have those anymore. All the companies decided it together. So even if you're just an Apple user now and you're like, I'm not going to get the Vision Pro anyways, who's to say they're not going to put more and more of that technology in the regular everyday stuff? Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
iPhone 20, it just comes with a goggle. You can't even get,
Yeah.
You can't get anything else. So
wow.
That's a real...
Okay, let me answer a question about your products, your de-Googled phones.
Sure.
That is initially confusing to some people, which is that the hardware is Google hardware.
Yeah.
And like, whoa, how's it a de-Googled phone if it's Google hardware? Please explain.
Sure. Yeah, that's a fair question to ask. So the Google hardware is a choice made by the developers of the operating system, Graphene OS, and by many other operating systems, because these phones are meant to work with Android, and Android is the foundation for these de-Googled operating systems, right? Google created Android with the help of other open source developers, and so these de-Googled operating systems are going to work best on Google phones. These phones are going to have the best support wherever you're at in the world. You can plug a SIM card in, and they're going to work. They're going to have long security updates. Now, that being said, it's not ideal. If it was up to me, I would have had it on a different phone. And we're working on different phones, actually, outside of the Google ecosystem. So keep a lookout for that. But right now, if you do want the highest quality of de-Googled operating system, you're going to be using one of these Google Pixel phones.
Now let me add, the yep. Pixel phones, Google did a really great job on the hardware, the camera, the CPU, the RAM, everything. The internal bandwidth. But what your company is doing is basically like capturing a Terminator, mind wiping the Terminator, reprogramming it to work for humanity. And that's what you're doing with Google phones.
Well, yes,
you're wiping them.
Reflashing them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there are no connections being made to Google
right.
on the phone. And you can verify this for yourself. If you take it at home, you connect your phone to a Wi-Fi network, an access point, and you're monitoring all of the websites or different servers it's connecting to, zero. There's no Google in there whatsoever. And that's one of the things that is really important. Now, does this mean that there's no way a really top secret government team couldn't somehow backdoor the radio in your phone and intercept it? Is there a backdoor somewhere deeper in the phone? That's not, there's been no proof of that, but it's not, we're not making claims to that either way. I will say there's probably no phone on Earth that you can make that claim for. So that's just the reality of the situation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But this is going to get you 80% of the way there. Because like I said earlier, there's a difference between mass surveillance and surveillance.
But there's also user behavior has to be modified. Mm-hmm. So a lot of users still, for whatever reason, love to use Gmail. And I've been on people's cases for years about that. Like, why are you using Gmail? So if you buy a de-Googled phone, folks, and then you launch a browser and you go to gmail.com and you sign in to Gmail, like, you're an idiot. I mean, you just basically, you just told Google that this is your phone and now it's going to track you. Every website that you go that has like Google, you know, scripts running on it, you're now tracked and it's tied it to your phone. Maybe it's tied it to the IME, not EI number. I don't even know how much Google can get off of it, but you should never log in to Google on a de-Googled phone, right?
I think it's nuanced, right? Because it depends, how did you log into to Google? Did you use the Gmail app? So the Gmail app is going to be tied to the Android identifier of your phone. So Google's like, okay, you have a new phone. It's this model for sure, right? Google Services is running on the phone, so it'll be picking up that information. If it's a web browser, then they know, okay, hey, this is a mobile phone. They may not know the device through the user agent. And you can also protect your IP address using the VPN, which we actually have on the above phone. It comes with the phone already.
Yes.
So there is a safer way of doing it. But yeah, you're totally right. Why would you do that, right? Save that for your old phone. Now, I think
it just
doesn't limit you. But this is, I feel like we are trying to create a separate lives for ourselves within the device. Here's the life we want. Here's the life that we're leaving. Here's the old phone. Here's the new phone. And even within this phone, I think we talked about this a little bit last time, you can create separate containers that give the impression that this phone's connecting from a different location or this phone has different big tech apps on it. And unfortunately, the grim reality is some people are just tied to Google. You know, they've got their
business.
And they're on Google's life support. Like,
it's crazy. Yeah. No, I have people in our industry that send me all like Google spreadsheets all the time. Like,
yep,
what, you just put all your customer or your corporate data in a Google spreadsheet and then you sent me a link? Like, don't you know Google's reading that?
It's convenient, right?
It's convenient.
But in the ever since day one, back when Google launched their Gmail, they were the first service to give people 2 gigabytes of storage. But what's the catch? What's the pound of flesh? They get to read every single word of your emails.
They read all your emails, right?
Right, market to you. It's no different with Google Drive, and you know, there's a mass reliance on it. I mean, these companies have just been subsidized.
But it seems to me then that people have to make a choice. Or I guess if they make no choice, then they become default obedient slaves to the system. If you just go along with what Google and Apple want you to do, you're just going to be enslaved by the system. But you can make a choice to escape the matrix, and you can deliberately start protecting your privacy, protecting your location, protecting your identity. A de-Googled phone is one of the steps to doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's more steps, and we're trying to take all the steps and let you take that one big step at the same time. That's really what this ecosystem is about. You know, with every phone, you get education. You get a support call with a real live person. I mean, I'm very blessed to be able to just reach out to my community, all people who believe in the ideas of freedom, and say, hey, who wants to help all sorts of people get onboarded onto this new technology? And people have stepped up, and I have support behind me. So that feels really good to be able to provide them with work and also to help Joanne, an 80-year-old grandma, start running encrypted communications and send Monero transactions. That's what really makes my
cool day. Yeah.
Like to get that bridge built. And again, it's that ecosystem. So you have the education, you have the support, you have these privacy services that really protect your internet traffic, give you new ways to communicate, let you run your own businesses, right? If you have maybe a consulting business or a health practitioner relationship going on, maybe you want to do that on our video conferencing service. So
right.
Above Suite helps you do that. Above Phone has all the apps you need and all the security on your phone to protect you from this mass surveillance. And as we build this new economy together, you know, this is the thing that's going to give us visibility. Maybe in the future, we're going to have ways to put our customers on the map as well, right? And to have this network of people just sharing resources and ideas. So
you're always thinking ahead about the next steps. And that's what I love about you. I mean, this is an ongoing project, all the iterations and improvements that you have. I know you've got a big announcement coming up in April that we'll share, you know, about the data throughput.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. About the, so I'll mention, we just did two different rounds of Above Book, which is our privacy laptop with a Linux laptop, for those of you who have already heard. Same concept, right? We're taking big tech out of the equation. No more Windows, no more Apple computer, no more AI integrated with your taskbar, no more someone treating you like you're 5 years old and be like, oh, hold on, you don't want to use your computer. We've got to update it first. You know, just it's like it's craziness. So we have this Above Book. We've gone through two different rounds of it. Mike actually has one himself. And in April, we're going to be doing another bigger round. So look out for that. I'll probably be back on here. And maybe that's even something that we could realistically put the large language model on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. On the laptop, that's a no-brainer.
No problem.
We know that can work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll have it ready for you. So
boom.
That's easy. Let's consider that a done deal.
Done.
Another point I want to get across to people, but by the way, abovephone.com/Brighteon is where you want to go for this. There's the website, abovephone.com/Brighteon, and you can read about the systems, the phones, and the laptop that another batch is coming out. But I don't think people realize how much they give up to Google or Apple when they begin to use the full suite of Google apps. For example, if you're using Google Maps and you're typing in the addresses of where you go and you're giving it your location, then Google, through, because your phone, your Google, a normal Google Android phone is always sending metadata back to Google. So Google's building a map of where you go, a whole log file of where you've been, but also then generating patterns of where you tend to go, what your schedule is, what hours you're driving. They can then determine things like whether you have kids, whether you have a job, whether you're having an affair.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they're reading your email on top of that, and they're able to determine when you're writing emails, when you're reading emails, what words and concepts you're using to compose your emails, and then your search browser history. If you search everything on Google.com, and Google has your whole history of everything you've ever searched for. Like, people's like, where do I find a doctor to treat this horrible venereal disease? You know, like every
really personal stuff.
Right. Really personal medical stuff
is
all on there. And when you combine all that together, they know more about you than your spouse typically. Crazy.
They know you better, you know, people have said they know you better than you know yourself. Maybe in like a programmatical way. Only you know you like you. But, you know, they have more data on you than maybe anyone, right? That anyone cares to know. And Mike, you're spot on with, you know, talking about all these different inputs. What is the consequence? Well, for some people, maybe people who want to live normal lives, there isn't a consequence, right? They can continue to do what they do. But really, it's not about trying to lock down everything in our life. We do need transparency and openness just to make connections. It's not about that. It's about resisting the illegal, unlawful surveillance and control from these companies that are working hand in hand with intelligence agencies and governments. It's about saying no, we're not going to consent to that, and that's really the important thing, to stop them.
And also understanding how it can be weaponized against you, even though you're perfectly innocent. So, for example, you might be stopping at a shop in a small town somewhere, and then maybe a block away, somebody got murdered.
Right.
And then you can be caught up in a geofencing warrant because you happen to be at that or a similar location at the same time.
Like Arizona.
Yes. Talk about it.
Sure. Yeah. So this is Google SensorVault database, which had... believe it was like 40 billion data points of location data from what Mike was saying. If you're using Google Maps, whether you're on an iPhone, whether you're on a Google phone, you're being added to that database. And so this man named Jorge, he got caught up in a sensor vault warrant, whereas this is, police investigators' shortcut. They can pick a date and a time, and they can have all the phones that pop up in that area, and they can, you know, they can further ask for more information about those phones. They can get the identities to those people. And they've been, these sensor vault warrants got so popular, they were consisting of, I think it was several thousand warrants a year, and up to a quarter of the warrants that Google was getting became sensor vault warrants or geofence warrants. And so Google actually backtracked. There was so much backlash and public awareness of this. They made some updates to Google Maps saying now you're, by default, your location will stay on your phone. I don't necessarily believe them, and I don't think there's a way to.
No, why would we believe Google?
Why would you believe them, right? And I think maybe, you know, these programs are just getting more secretive, like kind of the DEA program we talked about last time, where they actually tried to hide the existence of it. So if you're caught up in it, you have no idea how they got that information. The only way to do it for real is to cut them out, is to make sure you're making zero connections to them. You can't take them at their word.
Right. Or given what we know about Google's racial bias now, they might have a policy where all your data stays on your phone unless you're white. You know what I mean? It's like, if we think you're white and we know that from your search history, you search for white things. You know, like, let's go play golf today or whatever. You know what I mean?
Your carbon credits go up if you're white.
No, I think your carbon credits get destroyed if you're white. They're punishing whites now.
Is it? You're not supposed to have. Yeah, you're supposed to have.
You're white. Not supposed to be white.
It's crazy, man. Yeah.
It's hard to know who the establishment wants us to hate at any given moment also. Mm-hmm. There's also so much hatred that's being pushed. That's a separate topic. But you notice that, like, just in the lives that you and I have lived, at one time or another, we were supposed to hate either Muslims at one time, and then you're supposed to hate Trump supporters. Now you're supposed to hate white people. Who knows next? Maybe you're supposed to hate black people. I mean, it's just like, it's this crazy psychological game.
And AI is really good at playing it. And at the end of the day, we're all one people.
Exactly.
Like, let's not forget that. And America is a beautiful place where we can all come together, and we have come together. So why are we? I mean, it's all divide and conquer. But
yeah, that's why. I mean, we're on Team Humanity, right? I mean, we love life and the miracles of life, the divinity of life, consciousness, creativity, individuality. And these are all the things that are under threat from technology replacing what makes us human, replacing cognition as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is just calling it like it is. Google's AI is racist. There's no way around that. We shouldn't be singling out one race and limiting their contributions to society or advancement or history or downplaying that. Because we've already done that with so many races. We can stop. And this is why building decentralized AI is going to be so important, as Mike, that you're doing. And hopefully we'll collaborate and we'll create our own branch of this.
Absolutely.
So that you don't have to rely on these tools anymore. And you can have pictures with that are actually accurate, you know, founding fathers that aren't black women or whatever diversity inclusion they need to put in there. It's just
maybe we'll work on like an open source AI image generator or something.
That would be cool.
That would be fun. Yeah. But our language model, I say we're training it on material that's rooted in reality. Mm-hmm. That's our goal. We want a language model that reflects the real world, so that, because we want people to live in the real world and grow their own food and get off grid as much as possible. And so you need a knowledge base that's rooted in that reality so that you can ask it practical questions about the real world. Like, you know, what should the pH of my soil be to grow blueberries, let's say?
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe the sensor plugs in directly to the phone. And so you can actually test it, right? There's so many directions we can go with this.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, Ramiro, I love what you're doing, and your company has already helped many of our viewers with getting transitioned into this technology. And for anybody who's concerned out there, if you're intimidated by this, don't worry. the Above Phone company will walk you through this process. You've helped so many people with that.
Absolutely. I could say we're getting pretty good at it. And so you, with your phone, this is all free. You don't need to pay for anything extra. Well, one, we're making a commitment to give you email and chat support just for the lifetime of the phone. For the lifetime you're using the phone, you have that. You have someone to talk to. With every phone, you get 45 minutes of FaceTime with a real person like myself, like other support engineers who care about this mission, who care about freedom. And we'll help you. We'll get your old phone and we'll bring your Above phone in, and we'll help you transfer all of that important energy, that that knowledge, that data, whatever is important to your life. We'll help you bring it over, and we'll teach you how to use the phone. And you're off to the races. And then we also have a video. Maybe some of you are the type that don't want a setup call. You want to figure it out yourself. No problem. We've got written guides, and we just finished a new video course.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Well, we'll check it out. It's actually on our new university platform, above.university. And then we do, so that's for Above Phone customers only. And then we also have free educational resources as well on a knowledge base. So it's really about getting the information out there. I just want to mention about the bundle. So we've got this Brightian Edition phone. Earlier, we were talking about headsets and the sensors they're putting in their headsets. And we also realized, hey, we don't really have a good headset to use with this phone. So the Brightian Edition bundle is going to, you're going to be able to get your Above phone all from all of our best models. And it's going to come with all the gear you need. Case and screen protector, additional storage drive, which makes it really easy. It's a really cool drive that lets you plug it into your phone. Look, 1, 2, 3. That's awesome.
yeah.
You plug it into the phone. You can switch it to your computer, right? You become your own cloud. You become your own cloud. You own your data again. So you get the USB drive. You get the Ethernet adapter, because I know Mike is one of the few people that cares about electromagnetic radiation. At my house, at home, I'm actually using, when I'm using the phone in bed or something, I have it connected with the Ethernet cord. Zero
no
radiation.
No Wi-Fi, yeah.
No Wi-Fi. And that's how we got to live, right? If you have maybe a child who uses a phone, I mean, their brains, their skulls are a lot thinner. There's a lot more water content in their head. You know, the radiation is even more powerful for them. So having that Ethernet adapter with the phone is really important as well. And then lastly, we've got the headphones. So you get all of this in the Brightian Edition phone package. And we're really excited to do this. I think this is the first package we've done at the scale. And yeah, we'll push it out there and let us know what you think. Let me know how if you want to see that AI model as well.
Okay, great. And also on your website, there are different phones that people can choose from.
Indeed.
Different price levels, different sizes, different size screens.
Yes. Yeah, so I think for this promotion, we're going to be running our latest phones, which are going to be the Pixel 7s and Pixel 8s. This is the 8 Pro, which is one of the newest phones. And it's got a really amazing camera in it, really good battery life. We've improved a lot of different things for this model. So if you can even see that.
Yeah,
see.
We can see it.
Yeah, nice. I really like this. This is, I finally upgraded myself to a Pixel 8 Pro, and it's got a really nice front and rear camera, really great battery, and the best performance in the class. So all of our phones are fairly new. They're not, of course, these 8 Pros are brand new. Some of the other phones are a year or two old. So they've got, they're very comparable. But you've got a lot of different choices out there. Check out the specifications. And if you have any questions about picking out a phone, use the chat button in the right bottom hand corner. You're talking to a real person. That's not AI. So
not yet. No,
maybe one day, maybe not though.
Maybe you'll use the Brighteon AI language model to answer questions about the phone.
It's like
We can train it on your training material.
Let's do that.
Let's see how it does.
Us about vitamins and supplements. I'm like, no, I just need a phone.
Yeah, like, how do I download APK files? Well, first you take vitamin C. And then get some zinc. Yeah, that.
All right, I feel really healthy now.
Yeah, yeah. First get healthy, go have some superfoods, come back, and then do the install. That'd be my language model.
I'm so ready for it.
Yeah, totally. All right.
Check out the phones. We'll have this. This is going to be a time limited offer. We'll have the details on the landing page when you go. It'll be specially Brightian themed for Brightian, and have all the details there. So make sure to take advantage of the offer while it's around. The Brightian Edition phones are going to be ongoing, and Mike and I will update it as there's new updates. But to take advantage of this discount, you want to make sure to get it within the time frame. So do that. And sign up to our mailing list. There's a little segment right there. And yeah.
And there's no special code that they need for the discount. They just ask for the Brighteon edition.
There will be a code they need for the discount.
Oh, there is a code.
There'll be a code, and I'll make sure to send that to you.
Oh, well, we need to show the code on the
screen. Show the code?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but we can put it in.
We'll put it in.
Edit.
We'll add it in.
Okay, you send me the code. We'll put it in the edit. People can see the code.
Right on.
Okay. You should make the code Brighteon.
It is going to be Brighteon. It's I keep saying it, Ian. Brighteon.
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 And that's going to be the code?
It's going to be either, it's going to be Brighteon 100.
Brighteon 100.
Brighteon 100.
So Brighteon 100.
And that's for $100 off, folks.
Okay. Well, that's easy to remember. Brighteon 100.
Brighteon 100.
Okay.
I could have just said it.
Yeah. What happens if they type in Brighteon 200? Do they get 200?
Don't try it.
No.
Watching out.
Or Brighteon 50 if you only want the $50 discount.
That'll be the regular discount if you don't take advantage of it within the promotion.
Okay.
The regular one.
Got it. All right. I love the fact that you have a sense of humor, Ramiro, and we can joke around here.
Got to. It's clown world, brother.
It is a clown world, man. And just to get back to what we call normal, you have to go through many steps now, you know, to not be spied on,
yeah.
to not be censored, you know, to not be enslaved in this system. They've built a global prison for humanity, and tech is the construct of the prison. We're Absolutely. Living in the matrix.
And here's just this is just a keychain, y'all. This is just it happens to be a really convenient keychain of a bunch of these keys that open the gates. So I invite you to take the keys and open it, use it for yourself. And I would say that you can replace your phone with this.
Oh yeah,
you can.
I have totally.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't use Uber and Airbnb and Google Maps.
Got the helicopter
stuff like that. I don't use any of that stuff.
Right. And you could still use that stuff too. And it's just a little, there's small adaptations you might have to make. If you're willing to stop playing Candy Crush or 3D, actually you can play Candy Crush, but you can't play 3D games. If you're willing to let go of that, that's pretty much one of the only things.
Really? 3D games?
3D games, graphic intensive games. So
I don't think our audience cares about 3D games. They're way beyond playing games.
So then in that case, this phone can do everything your old phone can do and more. And more. Let's be better than big tech.
Definitely. All right. Well said. Thank you, Ramiro. It's great to have you here today. Appreciate you coming in and hope to have you back with some additional updates. And I tell you what, when we get the language model working on the phones, let's ask you back in to demo that.
Let's do that.
Wouldn't it be cool if we did the voice to text back to voice and we could like hold it up to the microphone and ask it questions.
Yeah, we could have like a live studio audience calling in and let's see what the AI says.
That would be wild. Cool. Yeah, we should try that.
We got to do that.
Yeah, okay. All right. So folks, the website is abovephone.com/Brighteon. And apparently the discount code for this is Brighteon100. And this is one of the key steps to de-Googling your life. And you do need to de-Google your life. Stop using Google search engines, stop using Google AI, stop using Google phones, and also stop using iPhones, by the way, because they're spying on you too. Get to a state where you can protect your privacy and you are in control of your data and your life, and it can't be weaponized against you. So that's the solution right there. All right. Thank you for watching today. We appreciate you, appreciate your support, and we appreciate you supporting our sponsors like abovephone.com. I'm Mike Adams here with brighteon.com, of course, and also Decentralized TV. Thank you for watching today, and thank you for de-Googling your life. Take care, everybody. Springtime is here, and we have special spring detox bundles now for you to help you save a bundle at healthrangerstore.com. And the first bundle that's in stock available right now, I've got it on my desk here. It's a combination of non-GMO vitamin C and acetylcysteine, our 5G defense product, which helps your body deal with, peroxynitrite production that happens upon exposure to 5G radiation. We've got turmeric gold plus, which has ginger and black pepper in it, as well as our nascent iodine. This all helps naturally support your body's natural detox capabilities. And if you bought these separately, they would be a lot more expensive than the special price that we have at healthrangerstore.com. Just go there and search for Spring Detox Support Bundle, and you'll see this bundle right here available at this special price, which is a significant discount off of purchasing these separately. We also have two other bundles available at healthrangerstore.com. The first is a nutrients blend bundle here that has the microalgae superfood blend here, along with our beet juice, again, all organic and all laboratory tested, along with our garden harvest blend. So this is a combination of fruits and vegetables loaded with phytonutrition, plus the microalgae that, again, available at a special price, a lot less expensive than buying them separately. And then we have one more bundle here, which is called the Super Greens Bundle. And this has our greens plus superfoods mix, our broccoli sprouts, and also our Radiance blend. Those three together, absolutely loaded with phytonutrition. Again, non-GMO, certified USDA organic, plus laboratory tested on top of that. Plus, of course, we do microbiology testing on all these products as well. We test for E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold, total plate count, and we also do glyphosate testing on top of that. We do more testing than anybody else in this industry on our entire product line. So if you get it at healthrangerstore.com, you can be sure it has been heavily scrutinized, even for heavy metals. So we test for lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, and other toxic elements as well, making sure that you get the cleanest and most nutritive foods, superfoods, and supplements that are available anywhere in the world. So thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. Take advantage of these spring detox bundles. They're good only while supplies last or through the end of March 2024. And right now we've got supply of all of these. I don't know how long it will last. The supply chain is always a little dicey from time to time. At the moment, we're looking pretty good. So hopefully you can get your hands on these or as much as you need. Thank you for your support. Healthrangerstore.com. Take care.